It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Oh, yeah. What do we reckon, peeps? We're getting used to the new song. I think we're used to it. Are we used to it, Coach K? Oh, yeah. A bit of feedback on that yesterday. Mixed, we'd describe it. Mixed, which is sort of sums up the program in many ways. G'day, afternooners. Thanks for tuning in. However you are listening, SEN welcomes you to what we would like to describe here on an afternoons as a very broad house of worship. You're listening all over the place too, by the way. 11:70 a.m. in Sydney, you're listening SEN Gold Coast 1620, you're listening SENQ 6:93 a.m. If you're listening on the app, you're listening anywhere and everywhere. Big show, massive, dare we say, on this Tuesday afternoon. Mac DeBoer, he's a former AFL player, he's also the managing partner of Athletic Ventures. He's going to tell us about a new investment that he's undertaking and going to tell us who he's taking with him. Got a heap of ex-sports people, current sports people that are doing that. It's a good yarn. And we like to highlight that sort of thing here on the afternoon's program. We'll find out what's trending with Coach K. Now, you're going to have multiple opportunities during the course of the afternoon to get your text messages read. 0457 736 736. A chance to win the Signet Boost Power Bank. We had some really good ones yesterday that we didn't quite get to. So we've got all that today. We've got a good talk topic from our man, Coach K, today as well. So excited about that. I'm also excited about speaking to Graham Arnold. So he's a former Socceroos star. He's a former Socceroos assistant coach. He's now the Socceroos coach up until the 2026 World Cup. An in-depth chat with Graham Arnold on the back of him signing that four-year deal yesterday. We'll have afternoons amplified. We'll have a score update from Coach K. We're going to head across to SENZ and speak to Staffy. Staffy and the crew over there. I think they've been at the Caracas House. If I know Staffy like I think I know him, I reckon he's bought himself a little yearling over there at Caraca. The 2 o'clock flock is on at, funnily enough, at 2 o'clock. This is really exciting for all people. Well, for some people, let's not beat about the bush. Scott Woodward, aka The Analyst, he's back for a bigger and better 2023. We're looking forward to that. We'll get stuck into that score update again. And then the text line, and we do that for our show sponsor, Alex and the team at SBS Fence. Remember the portable toilet and fence hire. We love those guys. Go to sbsfence.com.au, especially given the fact that they are sponsoring the program. All right, let's get stuck into it. Where do we start with all of this, the news of the day? Well, front and back page of Sydney's two newspapers today. This is the NRL taking on the RLPO. Andrew Abdo has pretty much finally had a say, certainly publicly. And he's talked about the fact that he wants to personally address the game's disgruntled playing group. And they're going into 3 days of crucial talks. Now, depending on who you speak to, they've either had talks or they haven't. We had Clint Newton on the program, the morning program, last week with Jaleesa Apps. And that was on the back of him being awarded an OAM for services to rugby league. But if he can deliver a CBA that everyone is happy with, and that's the difficult thing, right? Clint's not out to deliver a CBA that everyone's happy with. He needs to deliver one that the players are happy with. But here's the thing. Andrew Abdo and Peter Volandis, they have to deliver a CBA that the NRL is happy with. And that common ground, the commonalities where the two circles overlap, that common ground hasn't been found, hasn't looked like being found. Now, this is very much public positioning from Andrew Abdo, which we've seen a lot of from Clint Newton, so no problem on that. but these are very complex negotiations and they need to go through this deal line by line. We are not the enemy and we can't send the game broke. These are protestations that are done in a public way to change the narrative within a negotiation. It's incredibly complex when you start looking at it from that point of view. So how do you fix those? How do you make sure things get done? Get in a room and start talking to each other. And depending on who you believe, it either hasn't happened or hasn't happened in any sort of detail. So that needs to happen. And as Matty White was saying earlier, if the season launch is impacted, really, who cares? But if the season is impacted, if the preseason challenge is impacted, then it starts to get a bit nasty because third parties, i.e. broadcasters, i.e. your biggest customers, well, they get impacted as well. So that's the impact of how that will play out over the next 3 days. Will we get a resolution in 3 days? Absolutely not. But they may make some progress towards it, which would be a good thing. Last night, don't know whether you saw it, Steve Smith capped off an incredible 2022. He's taken out the Alan Border medal again for a record-equaling fourth time. He joins Ricky Ponting and Michael Clark as the only men to win the award four times. So he's won it 2015, 2018, 2021. Does it again in 2023. He beat Travis Head pretty comfortably. 171 votes for Smith. Travis Head, 144. David Warner, 141. Let's have a listen to the great SPD Smith collecting his medal.
Four times just makes me feel old. but yeah, extremely humbled to be up here. It's been my last 4 months. I've changed a lot of things. I've worked incredibly hard on my game to get myself back playing the way I wanted to play. So no, I'm really, really pleased. I certainly don't play for these kind of accolades, but it's been a tremendous 12 months with the Australian team. I think we've overcome some really good hurdles and played some tremendous cricket. So, really humbled.
Humbled and a big year to come too. He made mention of that, the Test series against India. They'll fly out today, that Australian Test squad. Then, of course, they've got the World Test Championship. Then, of course, they've got the Ashes. Then, of course, they've got the 50-over World Cup. So lots of very important cricket coming up over the next 12 months, not to mention the domestic summer as well. Anyone watch it last night? Let us know your thoughts. Give us your thoughts. I thought it was a really well done presentation night. Everyone seems to present themselves really nicely. I tell you what, I look at Steve Smith received that award and I think, isn't he awkward? There's a shyness about him. He seems to me to be the perfect guy to concentrate on his batting grip and shadow batting in front of the mirror. But all that other skipper stuff and all that other captaincy requirements, leave that to Pat. He strikes me now as a guy who's very content within himself and that if that is the case, then runs will flow. But he really, really looked uncomfortable in the limelight, I thought, last night. Love to get your thoughts on that. Beth Mooney, crowned Belinda Clark Award recipient. She's had an incredible 12 months, easily the most runs out of the Australian side, 976 runs. She did it at a strike rate over 100 as well. So she was in the undefeated Ashes campaign, the World Cup triumph in New Zealand, and the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham. She got 130 the other day against Pakistan. She did that pretty comfortably as well, 129 votes. Meg Lanning, 110 votes. Talia McGrath, 95 votes. Here's Beth Mooney on reception of the Belinda Clark medal.
Such a thrill to be a part of in this day and age, and we're only seeing bigger and better things coming for women's cricket, and I think that's the exciting part. We're seeing a pathway for girls and a genuine career opportunity for them growing up, which is what a lot of people growing up in the country didn't have, like myself.
Spoke superbly, Beth, actually. Long, don't get me, not Ian Redpath long, but long, but said all the right things. 29 years of age, very impressive. Left-hander, very impressive at the podium as well. And so you look at the night overall, what did you make of it? Not many would have been watching, I would have thought, but no AB. Alan Border decided not to turn up. He was a bit crook, so he sent his wife Jane. But maybe, just maybe, Usman Khawaja stole the show. He was Shane Warne's Men's Test Player of the Year, the new award. So well done on Cricket Australia and the Australian Cricket Association. Shane's brother Jason was there to present the award, the Shane Warne Men's Test Player of the Year. Here's the very best of Usman Khawaja at the AB medal last night.
I couldn't give him the ball as much because we were playing on raging green tops, as it is early on during the year.
David Warner turned up, everyone.
He's here.
I'll just start by saying congrats to everyone on the team. I think there's been outstanding performances. Marnus, Smudger, Paddy Always, Gaz, Matt Wickett, you tagging this year, unbelievable. I was just a little bit better, I think.
Looking sharp, kid.
Yeah, look.
As you told me you would.
I mean, I wore a very flary jacket at the Queensland Bulls Award a few years ago, and they said the same thing. I was looking sharp, and I'll give you the same reply. I must be going to hell because it's a sin to look this good.
All right, there's a few stifled laughter coming from the room. I would have thought Coach K's in hysterics right now, listening to it. So let me know your thoughts on that. Interesting around the David Warner one. So that was David Warner heckling him on the red carpet, going, "Come on, mate, hurry up." And the point was, oh, David Warner's here. Now, earlier, David Warner said, yeah, I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted from my cricket. And people say, oh, you know, I heard on another radio station yesterday, oh, yeah, but Cricket Australia were desperate for the David Warner to play and almost coerced him into playing. And no. You can't rewrite history. David Warner's management, big shout out to our man James Erskine, who we had on the program, he threatened to go to the UAE to play T20 cricket if he didn't get paid in the BBL. And remember, when they did get paid in the BBL, everyone else in the Australian side was a little miffed as well. So Steve Smith said, well, you better pay me as well. Now, that worked out really well for the Sydney Sixers. But when Dave starts talking about how, you know, exhausted he is, and everyone knows how much money you're earning, and that's fine, and thoroughly deserved too, by the way, but when you're exhausted for playing T20 cricket and people are out there working 70 hours a week and inflation went up 10% last year, man, you just need someone to just pull you into line and say, hey, mate, just think about it from this point of view. And here's the other thing. Usman Khawaja, you just get the sense, Uzi, you know that dressing room banter that's really funny where you talk yourself up the whole time? We had the incredible situation where, much like a former Australian test captain, he started talking in the third person last night. He thanked his wife and said, you know, you love Usman Khawaja, not the test cricketer, but Usman Khawaja, the man. And I'm like, oh, Usman. So did you get a sense? I just got a sense of that. The jacket was beautiful. He's usually great for a quote. He is. Now, we're playing his highlights here today, but Uzi, just be careful, mate. Just be careful. No need to be careful if you're Steve O'Keefe. We were talking about this 2 weeks ago, Dougie Bollinger and I, during the course, and we will be calling that game the Challenger, the Sydney Sixers taking on the Brisbane Heat on Thursday from the SCG. But Steve O'Keefe, he's going to be a key. He's going to play his 100th Big Bash game, and he talked about the impact of not making cricket the focal point of his life. He's been able to do that for all sorts of different reasons, but he's playing as well as ever. He's going to sign up again. Why wouldn't you sign him up? Like, you're not paying him much. Dougie, no, and that's not a slight on him, but he knows his place in the world. You know, I keep playing? Absolutely I do. Well, there you go. There's 2 months' work. We'll give you a bit of money for 2 months' work, and I tell you what, he's repaid them in spades. So we totally agree with that one. As I mentioned, we're going to speak to Graham Arnold a little bit later on in the program. So this is interesting as well. Accor Stadium is now going to be the venue for the Matildas opening match in the FIFA Women's World Cup. That's against Ireland. I don't know. How are Ireland in the Women's World Cup? Yeah, I'm not sure either, Coach K. July 20. So it was going to be Allianz Stadium. That holds 45. They went, no. We need to take it to the Homebush venue. That's 82,000. And the reason? On the back of ticket sales. Demand for tickets is going through the roof. I don't think we realise how big this tournament is going to be. We've got the FIFA Women's World Cup in Australia this year. And we know how the country, this country, every other country around the globe likes to get behind their football teams when they're playing in the big tournaments like the FIFA Women's World Cup. That's going to be huge. So I know it's outside of Graham Arnold's remit, but it also plays into the fact that, and we talked about this with Matty White, why does football in this country not have a home? Why does it not have a home? That we do not know. And the last thing I wanted to mention before going to a break, we're speaking to Matt DeBoer. After the break, West Tigers half Luke Brooks has endorsed the club's multi-million dollar pursuit of Mitchell Moses. So here's what Luke had to say on that and other matters. Are you in his ear?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, a few of us are. I think when we came in, we were young and sort of didn't really know how to play in first grade. Now that we've learned a lot, I think we'll be good together. Well, the way Sheensy sort of coaches his teams is to be an attacking team, and that suits my game. He's into it about scoring tries. So, yeah, I guess I was going to run the ball a bit more.
Okay, so Luke Brooks want Mitchell Moses. By the way, Adam Dwayhe says, hi, Luke. Remember him? He's the 5'8 for your club this year. Man, that's awkward. Luke, we're not going to have another year of bashing Luke Brooks, are we? Luke, stay in your lane. I say it to my kids all the time. Stay in your lane. You're a player. Just play. Forget about the recruitment. Let other people do the recruitment. Certainly don't do anything publicly around that as well. But I'd on the back of that, okay, Luke Brooks plays well with Mitchell Moses, or so Luke says, and that's what we believe. The great one-twos. Who do you play better with? We want those through the course of history, not just rugby league, but all other codes. What about this one? Steve Menzies and the great Cliffy Lyons. Was Menzies as good without Lyons? Was Lyons as good without Menzies? That's the type of thing we're looking for. 1300 01 1170. Get us on the text line, 0457 736 736. Just a sample of some of the things we're getting through here on Afternoons on the SEN Network. All right, a break, and then we're back talking investments. That's right. Investments with Matt DeBoer.